The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Join the conversation at 770-5633. Appreciate you listening on KMED and 99.3 KBXG in Grants Pass. By the way, for all the talk on KMED, tune in at 105.9. That is the translator signal for City of Grants Pass proper there. Okay. Sorry it doesn't go out to Cave Junction like it used to, but, you know, things change. Things change, all right? Now then, it is, first thing, a pebble in my shoe there. I was just listening to that ad coming from about Skyrizi, you know, this skin-clearing medication that they were advertising in that last show. And I'm trying to figure out, they always say this in all of the medical ads. It's always, you know, don't use Skyrizi if you're allergic to Skyrizi. Okay, how do I know if I'm allergic to Skyrizi unless I take it first and then I almost die and break out, you know? But they always say this. Well, I'm allergic to Skyrizi, but you know, I'm going to take another shot of it. I don't know, just that's a minor pebble in my shoe, but that must be some FDA rule or some Federal Trade Commission rule, and well, you better put the allergy sort of thing going in. All right. And if you have listened to me for any length of time, you know that what do I know about sports these days? Very little. I'm not much of a sports person. How much do I follow sports? Very little. You know, I'll watch an occasional ball game, maybe the Super Bowl, and that's about it. I'm just not a sports guy. But I have to say, Jada Ross from Medford going to the Olympics, that's pretty darn cool. Shot put star. She ended up winning over the weekend the Olympic trials in Eugene. It's a 19, little over a 19-meter shot put. She's third place, so there's one of three slots, and she got one of them. Big girl, good at it, what she does. Just amazing. I love her face when she, you know, when she is getting ready to throw the shot put. I threw the shot put one season in high school. So freshman in high school. And like I said, I was always bad at sports. I was never a great sports guy. I was the guy that was tearing apart stuff and playing with chemistry sets and going hiking and looking for arrowheads and stuff. But I didn't do that. I just didn't do that well. I don't think I could have, back in high school, carried the shot put 19 meters, much less throw it 19.3 meters or whatever it is. But still, that is very cool. Jada Ross. And so even though I don't care much about sports, it's great to see a local girl do so well at that, going to the Olympics. The Olympics are an incredible honor. Incredible honor. Just great stuff. 13 minutes after 6. It's kind of quiet over the last day or so around here. Yeah, we had a double homicide out in Klamath, at Klamath County. That was very sad, but it's been pretty quiet around here in Southwest Oregon. Well, yesterday, though, we had a grass fire burned about a half acre in White City, and people went nuts about that. They're like, oh, man. And fortunately, it was someone mowing their lawn. They left the lawnmower running, and then it ended up sparking off. The grass looked awfully dry there, but they got that taken care of and busted down. We know the fire out in the North Applegate is pretty much taken care of now. They're getting that all mopped up, and that's great news. But we're going into 105. On the 4th, we're looking at 105 degrees and 110 degrees on Friday. Possibility. Now, even in Oregon, in Southwest Oregon, that's pretty darn hot. No doubt about that. I was just talking to my boss a moment ago. George is heading out to the coast this weekend and he's wondering if, because it's going to be so hot here, it's going to be really cloudy there and he's not going to be able to see the fireworks. And around here, we're just kind of wondering, you know, if we're going to want to go out and see the fireworks, right? You know, that kind of thing, right? But, all right. Well, speaking of the heat, though, you knew it was coming. Oregon Democrats joined 40 federal lawmakers urging rehearing on landmark youth climate case. Remember, these are the climate kids that are saying, oh, we're crying. All you have to do is deindustrialize society and send more money to the government, and we'll be happy, and we'll change the weather. You know, those kids, right? Kids being pushed by their liberal parents, of course. But anyway, more than three dozen congressional Democrats, led by Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, Senator Sylvester, hoping to revive a landmark lawsuit against the U.S. governments by 21 young Americans. This reported in the Capital Chronicle today. 11 Oregonians would be taking part in this, too. More than half. Wouldn't you know, when it comes to the climate communists, more than half of them come from Oregon. I know you're shocked. But anyway, this is over continued federal support for fossil fuel production and a failure to urgently mitigate the worst side effects of climate change, violating the plaintiff's right to a livable environment. Who do these kids think they are? The only right you have to do is go to work and pay the government. That's the one thing the government's going to make sure. But still saying, this case, Juliana v. United States, was first filed in the U.S. District Court in Eugene 10 years ago. And the kids back then were between 8 and 18 years old. He's not gone to trial because of pressure from three presidential administrations. Yes, even Barack Obama didn't want to take this because no matter what these climate commie kids are thinking now that they're climate commie adults, no one's going to be getting rid of oil or natural gas anytime soon. And they still can't prove it, does it? You could probably shut down everything and then deindustrialize the country and go back to living in mud huts, and it would still probably be quite a bit warmer. It's not the CO2, folks. It's natural processes. But anyway, these people, including Senator Succotash or Senator Sylvester, say that the case deserves a trial. Yet another reason why Ron Wyden, in a perfect world, would not be your senator, among many other things. So we got that story going on this morning. Meanwhile, other Democrats are looking for the exit ramp when it comes to the homeless policy. After the Supreme Court ruling the Grants Pass case last Friday that came out, OPB reporting that some Oregon Democrats are joining Republicans in calling for changes to state camping laws. The issue could demand a lot of attention in the next session. It's going to be next session. That's going to be the big, the big one, right? Two centrist Democrat lawmakers, in other words, non-communists, there are some, Senator Mark Meek of Gladstone, Representative Paul Evans of Monmouth, they're signaling that they want to roll back a 2021 law that created limits on how cities can regulate camping on public property. Now, remember, this was the concern we had when even the Supreme Court, though, said that this Boise decision was not something that, you don't have to pay attention to Boise anymore. And then what does the state of Oregon do? Well, we're going to pass legislation to more or less say that we're going to put in law what the Boise decision said for the Ninth Circuit. And so now they're talking about maybe repealing this. This would be something that would be good to do. You know, this whole idea that you have to build the homeless industrial complex in order to take care of the derelict and drug addicted is not a winning thing. So anyway, they're wringing their hands about that. And even a couple of Democrats are having to say, yep, let me up. We've had enough of this BS. 770-563-3770 KMD. There's other news going on, too. We'll be talking about that off and on throughout the morning and taking your calls since it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. 770-563-3770 KMED. Coming up, Catherine Engelbrecht finally got her schedule. We've had to reschedule her a couple of times. Her schedule's been absolutely insane over at True the Vote. And yeah, we could talk about debate performances and everything else and the coup against Joe Biden being turned back from the looks of it right now. And President Trump, and will he be put in jail even though he's been ruled immune on other things? It's like okay, what's the status of the voting system? Is the cheat machine still in charge? And Catherine says, hey, you're whistling past the graveyard. Nothing's really been fixed. Remember, Bill, last year, non-citizens getting ballots sent to them just because they got driver's licenses to learn how to drive truck? Remember that? Boy, how soon we forget, right? But we'll talk with her about that and what could be done between now and November. I don't know. We'll kick that around. The presidential immunity case, the Democrats' heads are exploding over this one. It's an imperial presidency. Well, yeah, the presidency always has been kind of an imperial position. We'll talk a bit about that, but Michael O'Neill from Landmark Legal is going to go into and break down that particular decision, too. Herman's also going to be joining me, Herman Bertschiger, Josephine County Commissioner, and, of course, former state Oregon Republican Party chair. And we're going to be talking about the OSU extension defunding, various other things, what the homelessness lawsuit might mean for Josephine and Jackson County, too, for that matter. Bunch more coming up.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians, and recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one, contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step two, create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step three, gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/preparenow to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on KMED.
622. By the way, we're going to have some fun later this morning and talking to the people from Discount Fireworks. And we're going to have a $100 fireworks certificate where even in the Joe Biden inflation era, $100 of fireworks, that could be an awful lot of fun this Thursday. All right? You can win it. May have another one of those certificates we give away tomorrow, but hey. Got to, you know, wave the flag, celebrate the 4th. And, of course, you know, the stuff that you get is safe and sane. You know, we're not talking about, no, I'm not going to give you M80s. We're not going to do that. Not with the fire danger that we're talking about. Let's talk with Tracy. Tracy's down in Porterville. How's life in Porterville this morning, Tracy? Good to have you on.
Good morning. And we also, too, are going to be suffering from the heat dome down here in Central California. What's going on are two heat domes are merging together. Going to be real intense. So we're also suffering from the forest fires that's up in the giant sequoias this weekend.
Yeah.
And I just looked to the northwest, and we see the June Lightning Complex fire. And as a broadcaster and as a broadcast technician as well, you know how important those mountaintop transmitter sites are.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I look at fire season and always feel just a little nervous sometimes when I see things gathering, because where are the flames going to go? To mountaintops, ultimately, right?
They go up. They ride up the mountaintops.
Yep.
And sometimes those fire breaks are not good. So Big Bird was cooked down here. Valley PBS, which is equivalent to your Southern Oregon PBS. Well, Valley PBS, serving Fresno, lost everything.
They
Power,
did.
HD transmitter. The Bear Mountain Fire Complex. It also took out National Weather Service radio. If you're in the Central Valley, Bakersfield's been out for a while. Now Fresno is out.
Boy, we're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of dollars in damage when you're talking about that kind of stuff going on.
Correct. Yeah. And also cellular. They have something called cellular on wheels, called COWs, C-O-Ws, and they will come in and backfill some of that. But no, this is serious. And so those breaks needed probably to be larger. But, you know, if you look at the video, and you can go on Valley PBS's Facebook and they have the video of it. And it's just an amazing amount that just roared up that mountain and pretty much there was, you know,
is there
the fire lines.
Is there any kind of grass and tree removal that goes on there anymore? Or is California just like it is here for the most part, Tracy, in which you can't really, and they talk about prescribed burns and this and that, and the other. There's not enough prescribed burning to be able to do an entire state. You just can't do it, right?
Yeah, I went to the national park this weekend, just to the giant sequoias, and yes, they have the little promotions about we do prescribed burning, but really, it's so large. You need something like horses or cattle or deer in large numbers to just do this.
So we seem to be then living out the consequences of, okay, we're not going to log or do any of that, because a lot of times the timber, you know, yeah, I know they would clear cut and things like that, but yet clear cutting is what Mother Nature does when it burns a forest too, you know, essentially, right? But they don't, but we're not going to cut, we can't really burn everything. And we don't want any grazing either, right? That sort of thing. You kind of get it from all sides, don't you, there, everywhere?
Correct. And the heat, you know, the pine cones break up and burst their seeds thanks to the heat. That's how the Doug firs work, and the sequoias like that as well. But I think the real problem is somebody's got into their head that, oh, the Native Americans used to light the forests on fire to – you know, this is all nature. This is lightning. It's all nature. No. It's just poor management.
Well, you have to remember, though, is that the Native Americans didn't say, hey, you know something? We're just going to burn everything in the hunting ground to the ground. We're going to scorch the earth. We're going to make sure that there's such a hot fire conflagration that we can't possibly live there. They didn't do that.
Of course not. No,
yeah.
No.
But they're trying to make it sound as if, wow, this is just part of nature.
Even in Europe, they are reintroducing buffalo, the European buffalo, to Portugal, of all places.
Yeah.
To do what? To graze.
And boy, they're tasty, too, I hear. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad that I'm sorry that you're having such a trouble down in Porterville. So how hot has it been? So you're San Joaquin Valley, right? That whole
right.
area.
So we're going to be looking between 110 and 115 down
here. Whoa. Okay. Boy, so we're actually in a cooling trend compared to you then, huh?
And if I remember all my weather, it goes, that heat goes up, the pressure goes up the valley toward Redding and up, and even the banana belt there over on the coast, Brookings, will get hot.
Yeah, they're going to get hot, but on the coast, it could be about 80. They're figuring it's going to get a little cloudy. That's what happens there when it gets hot over, you know, in this area. It tends to cloud up on the coast there. So we'll see how that ends up working. But still, 80 degrees at Brookings, that's pretty warm. That rarely happens. Well, I got to tell you, Tracy, do your best and keep it safe there. I'm sorry to hear about the challenges, but, you know, stupid people in charge of public policy, there are consequences.
You bet.
All right. You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. It's a 28 after 6. 770-5633, okay? Actually, let's hold the calls because Catherine Engelbrecht, I'm going to have her on here in a couple of minutes. Remember Steve the Marine, Dr. Stephen Greenleaf? We've had him on the show every now and then talking about legal matters. He's a, of course, former Marine. Well, you're never a former Marine, right? Semper Fi. But he had 2 degrees, you know, doctorate, has the JD, so Dr. Stephen Greenleaf, and also medical doctor, psychiatrist. He was able to do all this kind of stuff, right? So he could psychoanalyze the the attorneys, I guess, that kind of thing. But and of course, a big studier of history. And he dropped off a copy of a immunity deal. This is the whole Trump situation about immunity that the left's heads are exploding over. And he had a slightly different take than what was going on about it. But I think he's right. You know, people talk about, oh, be aware of the imperial presidency of Trump. The president has always been kind of an imperial position, a bit king-like. And it was designed that way, really, right from the beginning, to have some trappings of that, in which you're not always going to be prosecuted or held to account. In fact, impeachment was set up in the Constitution to really be the punishment. We'll talk more about that with Michael O'Neill after 7 o'clock. But Dr. Stephen Greenleaf had this. Many executives throughout Anglo-American history have been immune from indictment, he writes here, on immunity. We talked about this on the air maybe 2-3 months ago about this case, but he brings up some interesting examples. Henry II ordered the murder of Archbishop Thomas Becket. His words, "Who will rid me of this meddlesome priest?" Now, that was truly a king, all right? But when you look back at the history of the presidency, you see many of those same kind of characteristics, a lot of similar situations. Andrew Jackson committed many crimes against the Cherokee Nation. Chief Justice John Marshall tried to stop this, and President Jackson responded, "John Marshall has rendered his opinion. Let's see him enforce it." Lincoln committed many crimes during the Civil War. You and I, we've talked about this before on my show, and he said, "This is war. I cannot be bothered with trivial laws." Andrew Johnson committed a number of crimes and was impeached by the House. He was acquitted in the Senate by only one vote. President Richard Nixon said famously, "If the president does it, it is legal." I remember that back in the Watergate era. In the Trump case, a judge asked, "Was the president free to order SEAL Team 6 to kill an opponent? Would Trump be immune?" Trump's lawyer responded with a qualified yes. He did not explain, but I will. And this is what Steve's take on it, and I think it's reasonably sound. Article 1, Section 3, Paragraph 7 of the Constitution. Remember, this is the power of the presidency. "Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold any office. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment." That's the operative word. If the president is convicted in an impeachment. Trump was found guilty twice in the House, but acquitted twice in the Senate. And recall, it takes two-thirds majority to convict. How about acts that are legal when committed but later criminalized? Article 1, Section 9, Congress shall pass no ex post facto law. In Article 1, Section 10, no state shall pass any ex post facto law. In other words, Trump could be completely immune in any of these cases. The president cannot function while looking over his shoulder. And by the way, the same rules apply to President Biden. I find it interesting that, you know, no one's talking about the imperial presidency when you have, you know, President Biden just say, "I'm just going to cancel loans for people." Well, they did go after him then. And even though the courts have been trying to rein him in, he still keeps doing it. He's just looking in, trying to play that, you know, trolling for votes among the college graduates, I guess. 6:32, we'll catch up on the rest of the news. Bill London will join us in the KMED News Center. And we're also going to talk with Catherine Engelbrecht about True the Vote. Has anything been fixed in the election system? Yeah, we could talk about debates all we want. Has the voting been fixed?
The reports keep coming about Sky Park Insurance saving listeners money. Here's Dan in Medford.
I've been hearing Bill talk about Sky Park on the radio, and now I wished I'd called Steve earlier. He cut my insurance in half on my truck and saved me $600 a year. About blew my boots off.
Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance company that shops for the best rates among several name brand companies. Call Steve at 261-5444.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Did your mobile provider just increase their prices again? Switch to Spectrum Mobile, the nation's fastest growing mobile provider. With Spectrum Mobile, you get unlimited talk, text, and data, plus nationwide 5G. Switching to Spectrum Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your phone balance up to $2,500. Stop dealing with price hikes from your cell phone company. Get Spectrum Mobile. Visit spectrum.com/itpays to switch for full details. Offer subject to change. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The hottest weather of the year is arriving in Oregon on the 4th of July. The National Weather Service says there's a heat risk for the state Thursday through Sunday. In southern Oregon, an excessive heat watch takes effect Thursday for possible temperatures up to 110 degrees. Central Oregon also expects to see triple-digit highs this weekend. With hot weather in the forecast across Oregon, the state fire marshal is worried fireworks will spark fires. Many cities and counties have tighter restrictions than state law. Oregon law prohibits fireworks that fly in the air, move more than 12 feet on the ground, or explode. Jacksonville made HGTV's list of the 50 most charming small towns in America. It's the gateway to the Applegate Valley Wine Trail and hosts the annual Brit Music and Arts Festival, which is considered to be one of the Northwest's premier outdoor summer performing arts events. Jacksonville has also been called one of America's 10 coolest small towns. Bill London, KMED News.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. President Biden and some Democrat allies are condemning the Supreme Court ruling, upholding the concept of presidential immunity for official actions taken while in office. Senate Democrats circling the wagons around President Biden following last week's poor debate performance against former President Trump. House Republicans unrelenting in their drive to get a hold of the audio recordings of President Biden's interview with special counsel Robert Hur in the classified documents case. Now they've filed suit to get the recordings. Hurricane Beryl has strengthened to a powerful Category 5 storm as it pounds the Caribbean Windward Islands. The fast-moving storm blamed for at least one death, moving west-northwest, expected to pass near Jamaica tomorrow and eventually hit Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. The opening bell just sounding on Wall Street, and this is SRN News.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-932-8603 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-932-8603. That's 800-932-8603. What do you have to lose? Call 800-932-8603. Again, 800-932-8603.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon E-Deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Hellgate Jet Boat Excursions is throwing it back every Thursday for our 65th anniversary. Book any two quick and scenic adventures for only $65. Experience the Rogue River aboard our historical excursion. Glide inches above the river, see the native wildlife, and experience the majestic views of the legendary Hellgate Canyon. Don't miss the best of the Pacific Northwest adventures. It's Throwback Thursday all season long with two quick and scenic adventures for only $65. Book now at Hellgate.com.
Restrictions apply. See Hellgate.com for details.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
638, streamed on KMED.com, too. By the way, I was a little confused. I had someone call up and say, Bill, we can see your lips moving, but no sound. I restarted the Facebook Live, and so there it is, okay? Yeah, we don't want to just have you having to be a lip reader to listen to the show on Facebook, okay? Joining me right now, Catherine Engelbrick. Boy, what a worker for election integrity. She started True the Vote back in 2009, and that was a citizen-led effort to restore honor and integrity to our electoral system, and she continues to work this dishonorable system, in my opinion. But anyway, True the Vote works on educating voters, researches the veracity of voter registries, trains and mobilizes volunteers to work in polling places, and advocates for comprehensive election code reform legislation. And Catherine, you are just busy, crazy. We've been able to reschedule for a couple of times. I'm glad we could finally squeeze you in here. Welcome to the show. Great to have you back.
Oh, Bill, thanks so much for having me.
All right. This is a tough time because everyone is just hyperventilating over the debate performances last week by both presidential candidates, and then we have these Supreme Court cases, and Trump can is immune from various things, et cetera, et cetera. And the conventional wisdom is that President Trump can cruise to a pretty decent election victory if everything holds as it is right now. And yet there's still this little part in the back of my head that wonders, wait a minute, there was a lot of hinky back in 2020. Is there reason to expect that hinky could be making a return in 2024? And I think you're the one that's probably looked into more this more than anyone. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, our system is built And over the many years I've done this, I've become more and more certain in the situation as it's presented to the American people that the election process is built with intentional weaknesses in place that need not be there, but they remain because they can be subverted and exploited when necessary by, you know, politicos who know how to play the game. You don't need a whole lot of fraud. You just need a little in the right places, and you need to be strategic about it. And so the process, left to its own sort of devices and without the positive effect of pro-liberty engagement and citizens showing up and working the process to make it its best version of itself, without that, then there any number of things can go sideways. And I think the question is, do any of us want to risk that? I mean, I guess it's a nice feeling to say, oh, let's just rest on our laurels because it looks as though there's going to be a regime change and pro-liberty should win, all of the things being equal, but they're not equal. And so we've seen some good indicators of America waking up over these last few days and weeks, but there's still so much work to be done in the months ahead.
All right. Have there been any reforms placed in or put in place over the last few years in various states to try to tighten up some of the, I mean, just wide open ability to commit fraud like what happened in 2020, especially with all of a sudden secretaries of state being just saying, hey, we're just going to do vote by mail, COVID, you know, all that kind of
right.
thing. And then you
right.
have this, and then you see the stories, and then you, well, you see the videos of the suitcases of ballots being run through the counting machine several times in Georgia after the poll watchers and everybody gets dismissed. No court wanted to touch anything, Catherine. Nobody wanted to touch it because I guess Trump was literally Hitler. It was, you know, what it, by any means necessary, right? You know, that kind of thing. You just ignore
yes.
it, right? So
the process itself is built in such a way that, you know, we as Americans, and I think a lot of this was shattered in 2020, but prior to, certainly, you know, you trusted the process and you felt like, well, you don't have to be ever vigilant because the process is likely sorting itself out. And I think that in 2020 we got an eyeful, and to your point about pulling out boxes of ballots, that happened because every, you know, volunteer or election worker was sent home due to a water leak, except for a select few who stayed behind. I think if you repeat that scenario in 2024, you're going to have far more citizens saying, nah, that's good. We'll stay. We'll just wait. We'll just wait, or we'll just make sure that everybody leaves. I think there's so many things that we have learned the very hard way that we're not going to fall for some of the same antics that occurred in 2020. But to answer your question, yes, we've seen states tighten up restrictions on mail ballots and go to more of a reason-based use of ballots, mail ballots. So you have to explain why you need the ballot first before it's just automatically mailed to you like it was in so many states during COVID. We've seen many states remove or reduce the number of drop boxes, which of course we think is a great measure because the drop boxes are not monitored. If drop boxes were monitored, even akin to what a library does when you return a library book, that would be a different matter, but that's not what drop boxes are. They're just receptacles out generally in the middle of nowhere. As we've learned through some of the work we did with our organization, very rarely are they actually monitored with cameras. And even if they are, they're not, the footage isn't observed and no actions are taken. So it's a false sense of security. We've absolutely seen an engagement like never before in getting the rolls clean. And it's true on the citizen side, which we're, you know, projects that we work on to help citizens support ineligible record, potentially ineligible records to their counties. But what's been so great in these last few months is that we're hearing from the people who are using our data and tools to provide to provide information to their counties, getting feedback from their counties saying, well, thanks so much, but we've already taken care of these records. That's the first time in 15 years that we're hearing that kind of thing at this point this close to an election. So, I mean, there are a lot of positive changes. Many more need to be made, and certainly, you know, God willing, there's a season of reform, you know, coming in 2025. But we're in much better shape now than we were back in 2020.
And when you talk about being in better shape, Catherine Engelbrecht from True the Vote, are you talking about swing states or is it outside swing states? Because I'm always concerned about the swing states because the margins tend to be very, very tiny. And that's where you can take a corrupt thumb and put put your thumb on an election scale.
That's
with
right.
Just a little bit of fraud, just enough to make it work, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we could use Georgia as sort of a case study in a battleground state that is sort of dueling with itself. It's passed some good legislation that gives citizens more access and clarity in how they can be a part of their election process in beyond just voting, but actually, you know, finding and reporting ineligible records and the ways that they serve. And so there's been efforts made in that direction. But at the same time, you've got leadership there, you know, announcing that, yes, new security patches are out for the series of Dominion machines that they use across their state, but they have no intention of upgrading that security until 2025. And that was something that they came out and announced, you know, even back in 2023, this was the it's just, so you have these just sort of lapses in good judgment that remain to me to be head scratchers. Like, why would you announce that you are not going to update your security of your machines? And that's just one example of the types of I believe leadership lapses that are going on in Georgia. So in my opinion, the key to the battleground states must be the power of engaged citizens working at the polls. And that don't mean just on election day. I mean everything from absentee ballot review and signature verification down through central count, participating in your canvass on the back end of the election, participating in logic and accuracy testing on the front end. Observation and being engaged changes outcomes. It changes behaviors. It makes people more aware of the need to follow the law. And that's where we are in many battleground states. The key is going to be people being involved and holding the line to a lawful standard.
I don't know if you've ever taken a look at the Oregon election system, but to me, it is just ripe for fraud. And I'm not talking about fraud at the local level where the county clerks, you know, the local people, they do the right thing. But they're directed by a corrupt Secretary of State, in my view. The Office of the Secretary of State seems to be designed to make voting very easy and cheating very easy, you know, because they don't clean the voter rolls. In fact, I think this was codified by some laws that the state legislature passed in which – you know, it's going to be years and years and years. Have you ever taken a look at our situation between voter?
Yes. Oregon and Washington is in a similar situation. And it's very frustrating, the process that's been codified in your state, because it gives so little visibility to even understand what's happening kind of behind the curtain, if you will. There's just so little ability to piece all the parts together to really measure, you know, where the breakdown is occurring. And it's easy to just sort of gloss over it and say, oh no, it's all mail-in and, you know, you can bring your ballot if you want and it's all fine. There's just no problems at all. So nothing to see here. Your voter rolls, when we try to work through them, the way in which they are released publicly is not in good data format. It's different than what you would be considered standard. There are a lot of gaps, and it would really take a task force to unwind what's happened in Oregon, and that's certainly something that could happen. I mean, these are not problems beyond our ability to solve. We put a man on the moon. We can register people to vote and count. We can do this as Americans. It just takes the political will.
What I would say, though, is when you have a uniparty state, for the most part, and the state is controlled largely by a supermajority of Democrats, the system works for them. So it would be like trying to reform the system in Texas, because that's controlled mostly by Republicans. You know, if they had problems there, hey, listen, it's working for you. You know, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. And that's sad anytime you have the absolute power vested in one political party. Well, like I said, I think I told you last time you were on last year or a couple of years ago, we had a primary election and a off-year election, and people came here to go to college, and they were foreign nationals. They were not American citizens, and they all ended up getting ballots mailed to them by the Secretary of State, by the Oregon, state of Oregon, you know, doing this because they were counted under motor voter as, hey, you know, go ahead, you're in. And you just think about these dozens and dozens of ballots, that, and this is just in the one case that a person brought to our attention. And you multiply that by multiple cities and multiple situations, you know, who knows? I mean, these people were just registered to vote, and they got sent ballots at a motel that they were not living at. But that's just the way it was. And our local county clerk is sending up the alarm and trying to raise the alarm up there. But when you have a Secretary of State that kind of likes this system, I don't know how much reform we're going to get out of Oregon, at least. What do you think?
Yeah, the issue around non-citizen voting is I think one of the most insidious problems that we face. It's also one of the most correctable, but we have to have there has to be a national discussion around the ways in which federal agencies are registering or allowing non-citizens to register for social service programs. That is how they are primarily, not the only way, but primarily how they end up on the voter rolls, because there's a blended application for the service program with voter registration baked in. Mm-hmm. That was codified under the National Voter Registration Act. And so the missing piece here is that states aren't given access to non-citizen standards so that from the federal government. And so even though the federal government is not with 100% accuracy, but certainly with reasonable accuracy, they know who is in this country and they know their citizenship status, but they don't share that information with the states. So the states are absolutely flying blind with respect to citizenship, and it's outrageous. This is something that can still be fixed before November. There's no reason that the federal government can't share relevant databases with the states, and the states can then check at scale their entire voter registry to determine and verify citizenship. But again, what is lacking here is the political will. This is not technically a heavy lift. It just has to be done.
It's a political problem. It's a political problem. All right. Now, is this why that we have the story out there that it was recently that Californians with no driver's license or social security number can use a credit card or a gym membership to sign up to vote? Is that what leads to this? Or is that just California being California and saying, hey, we're going to make it easy to cheat?
Yeah. Yeah, California is uniquely curious in the way they approach things.
Yeah,
that you don't have to show ID. You don't have to show ID to register. You don't have to show ID to vote. It's an all male state. Ballot harvesting is legal. It just goes on and on and on. The way in which, non-citizens get registered, if they go and show any form of, if you're in a state where you don't have to show ID, so much the better for the purpose of a non-citizen's vote, or you're in a state where you can vote and register and vote in the same day, which 20 some states now have that standard. So that's another place where if you were on top of your data game, you could still verify citizenship in real time, but that's certainly not the case currently. But it's more than just whether or not the non-citizen will show up to vote. The question needs to be asked, as non-citizens really don't know that they're necessarily registering to vote. That, you know, they're coming into this country seeking a better life. I'm not in favor of the meltdown at the border, don't get me wrong, but I've seen how the NGOs are exploiting people coming across for the purposes of using them as political pawns. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that NGOs are just tracking where those registrations are winding up as they, you know, as they deport people yet again further into the country and into battleground states. As long as they know where those registrations are, it doesn't matter whether or not it's the non-citizen themselves that cast that ballot. They'd never know if a mail ballot was registered on their behalf.
Yeah, someone has voted on their behalf, essentially, unknowing to them. Yeah, right. That makes some sense here, too. All right. Boy, so the West Coast states are kind of hopeless in this cycle. Would you agree so far? I mean, and by the way, it's not going to matter in the presidential election in Oregon. Oregon, I doubt that President Trump would be in play in Oregon. Not that would make. I don't know. It could be, you know, President Biden could expire while in office, and he would miraculously most likely win the Oregon vote. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting time because, you know, since 2020 and for the first few years after, there was a decided, you know, camp that believed, myself included, that things had happened in 2020 that shifted the balance of that election. And, you know, it took quite some time, but we've seen America wake up in waves, the most recent wave of which happened this last week. And I think it's going to continue. People are going to continue to wake up. And I think it'll change the dynamics of what's historically been maybe not considered in play. As Americans are getting more and more and more involved, you know, harder truths are having to be discussed, and change will come through that. We're all a lot more alike than we are different, and we've reached the point of such absurdity that Americans are increasingly just saying this has gone too far. This is crazy where we find ourselves now. And then you start seeing the succession of crazy decisions that have put us in this spot, and it's just going to be peeling them back. You know, we're going to get well the same way we got sick, which is over time. But we got to stick with it.
Yeah. I find it interesting that, you know, when we have engaged in nation building, I'm speaking about our foreign policy types, you know, and then with wars, Iraq and various other things. When we engage in nation building, of course, we make a big thing about democracy, and they make it pretty simple. Purple finger, you know, dipped in ink in Iraq, you know, that sort of thing as one example. And yet here, everything is hidden and voted on. Paper ballots that just could magically come from anywhere. And you have voting machine companies with proprietary software doing the counting of something which should be pretty simple. It's just adding. All you're doing is adding.
Sure.
You know, that's all that is. And you can't look at and you can't look at anything. Are there any other Western countries or civilized countries that do voting in such a non-transparent way as the United States, Catherine?
No, we are uniquely opaque in our process. We're the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't have a standard form of photo voter identification. In most countries, it would be considered laughable to show a gym membership or a credit card. I mean, people, you know, that are in these emerging, let's just call them emerging democracies for the, you know,
well, like everybody,
not to parse words over.
Yeah,
but you know, they so value the sacred obligation and promise that a vote represents, that they will stand in line, they will serve in support of the process, they will watch with keen attention to make sure that every step of the way makes sense. And we've just taken it for granted for so long that our standards have slipped, and we've allowed that, and it's no fun, but it is what it is. We are where we are. We just must keep the pressure on to work our way back. And it's happening. It's going to happen more slowly than any of us would like, but it will happen, you know, sort of slowly and then all at once. Because as Americans wake up, good things can be brought into place. I mean, think about how quickly technology changes. There's no difference with the standard. We can make improvements in transparency and efficiency that can happen very, very quickly, but they will only happen if America stays focused on the expectation. Because if we let it drop, it will just, we will be an all-male nation, all-male ballot nation, and, even the United Nations doesn't consider an election predominantly conducted by mail ballot to be a legitimate election.
Yeah, and I'm no fan of the United Nations, but in this particular case, they're absolutely right. Yeah.
It's just obvious. It's just an obvious truth. And like so many other, instances we could point to in this country, there's this strategy of just saying a lie and repeating it until it just becomes the accepted truth or fact without you lose the will to fight back because it's just shouted. You're shouted down about it for so long. We have to remember that some things just really aren't common sense and evaluate through a common sense lens and then make according adjustments. And we just, there's no option except for the people to do it. It's not going to come from government.
Yeah.
Government will not correct itself.
It's going to be voter rage. It's going to be citizen rage and outrage.
That's right.
That's what's going to drive this one. And the point being is not to discourage people from voting. It is the one tool that we have at this point, the one tool. But it's kind of like not kidding yourself about the weaknesses in the system. And I guess that's the fair situation, the fair way to look at this. And, the other thing, before you take off here, Catherine, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes, but given the lawsuits that the slapdown lawsuits that a company like Dominion has been able to do, and I know everyone tiptoes around Dominion after all the lawfare that was done. If Dominion was doing something wrong, would anybody even dare say it these days, in your opinion, after you've seen what's been going on the last few years?
Yeah, it remains to be seen how this continues to play out because, as you rightly point out, as with every passing day, it's more and more is learned about Dominion's and all the brands. There are really only three brands of election machines to begin with, but all of their deficiencies and how it's been allowed and why it is correct to question what's going on. And it was always peculiar to me that the defense they mounted against any naysayer or anyone who spoke out against or questioned the use of machines or the nature of what was happening with the machines that made it impossible to audit or track. The brutal beatdown in the courts that was immediately exacted against anybody who spoke out through the vote on we have not been as vocal on the machines, just wasn't our area of focus, but
right.
On things we have focused on, I can tell you we have received a similar type of lawfare beatdown, and it is a tactic designed to just break the spirit of the people who would dare question. And yet here again, it is not an easy walk. And I speak as one who walks it there's not a day that goes by that I don't talk to attorneys, but it's where we are. We must keep up the fight because the options are just simply not acceptable. Just watching this continue to erode simply is not acceptable. We have to stay vigilant and being vocal. And that is how change will be brought about. And we're seeing it happen. We're seeing America wake up. And it's
not as quickly as we would like, but it is waking up nonetheless here. All right. Maybe not in time for this election cycle, perhaps in future ones, too. TrueTheVote.org, the website. Please go join, sign up, contribute, help out. Understand how you can even clean up your own. In fact, you still have that situation on your website, the program, to clean your ballot or clean your name off of other elections in the past or other states that you've lived in, right? Don't you still have that going on?
Yeah, absolutely. That's called Scan, Check, Protect. And if you go to our website, truethevote.org, click on Engage at the top, and down will fall a list of all the projects. Scan, Check, Protect is at the very top. And beneath that is a broader project to help clean your local voter rolls. You can see what your rolls look like in Oregon and report them to your county. It may not have the outcome that you might want, but at least you have some empirical evidence of what's really going on in your voter rolls. We have a project, the 611 project, that looks at non-citizen voting and toolkits of all manner for just a variety of other ways that you can be involved. But there's so many ways to serve, and we encourage everybody, irrespective of party.
Yeah.
We just need, you know, Americans who care about an accurate process to show up and help defend this cornerstone of our representative republic.
Catherine Engelbrecht, founder of True the Vote, truethevote.org. Thank you for being the dedicated happy warrior that you are, okay?
Thanks so much, Bill.
Be well. It's a little bit after, we'll call it 7:05 here, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. It was well worth the conversation. And KBXG Grants Pass, 99.3 FM.